Howdy, boys and girls. One rather tired and burnt out old guy here in the chair. And one tired and rather, I don't know what the heck. You actually don't look too bad.
I tweaked my back a little bit, but other than that, I don't feel too bad.
So the other guy's over there and this guy's over here.
We're still getting old. That much I'm positive of.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a week here. We've got new red tide maps up. If you go on the Fishing Report page, or there's actually, if you go on the tide page, I'm putting maps up of where the red tide is moving.
Now, and they seem to be very accurate, according to what I'm hearing from customers after that last map you posted. A couple guys actually said that that was where they actually started to feel a little bit or see a little bit.
Yeah, what I'm seeing with it is more of the, you're going to be able to see how red tide moves, comes, goes. I'm going to go back and post some from earlier times. I'm going to make some more, and I'm going to try and keep posting them at least every couple of days. So you'll actually be able to know where everything's going and coming. Because red tide is not a static issue. Everybody says, oh, red tide is here. And it's everywhere. It's crawling in your room. It's going to come get you in the middle of the night. You know, this is, and it doesn't work that way. It's where it is and it's where it's not.
Right.
So, anyway.
It's constantly moving.
And it is not on the Peace River. But I haven't heard of much else about not or are on the Peace River.
Shell Creek Dam's the only thing I've heard about. A lot of guys fishing up there, catching a lot of small snook and the occasional juvenile tarpon. You know, with this last few rains we've had, it's actually pouring over pretty good up there, so a lot of guys buying those storm swim baits and a few bucktails.
Yeah, it's surprising how many people use bucktails there, but the water is very shallow right at the base of the dam because of all the rocks they put in to hold the dam up.
I never realized how shallow it was until you showed me that.
You know, I mean, a lot of times you got 12, 18 inches of water. It's really amazing how much water you don't have there.
Yeah.
And to see all that, and okay. If I could just find my... All right, anyway, doing the show in my office here where we got everybody walking in and out and everything else. That's why we built Studio F. So, we're not using it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, lots of stuff going on here at Fish and Frank's. People coming and going, deliveries, and, you know, it's the normal chaos.
Yeah.
Let's see. Shell Creek, snook, possible tarpon... I am not seeing much going on in the river. I look out in the mornings, look over the river and see, I haven't seen much of anything else going on. So I guess scrolling down the page takes us over to I-75. You heard about anything?
No, honestly, I have not heard of anything this week.
Not me either. So that gets a few question marks. 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge. I've only had a couple of reports. The one guy is catching snook off the seawall on the southbound side. And he caught one black drum, one little baby redfish, and a whiting. And then another gentleman was fishing off the bridge and caught a small bull shark. He had a couple other good runs, but only able to hook into the one little bull shark. He said about 3-footer. He didn't see much for life except for some glass minnows out there.
A lot of glass minnows around, and that's a really good sign. It means the water's okay.
Right. Absolutely. They're kind of that canary in a coal mine kind of thing.
Yeah, when you don't see glass minnows around, man, you get worried. As long as you're seeing glass minnows, everything's okay. Because they're the first to die from bad stuff because they're so little.
Well, they're very sensitive, yeah.
All right. Lashley Pier.
I have not got a report this week.
Okay. Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore Pier, from what I understand, guys are sneaking out on it. It's supposedly still closed.
Yeah.
And they caught a couple bull sharks off of little guys, 3-footers. One guy did jump a tarpon, and that same night he heard snook popping around the dock, but couldn't catch any of them, so he came in to buy one of those, the Zara puppy, the little tiny one. He was going to try that out.
Yeah, with all the glass minnows around, that really does tend to make sense, you know, get the little tiny top water with the glass minnows flipping over on the surface and stuff.
Yeah, he was going to give that a shot. kind of neat. His way of thinking with that was the same way you just said, you know, which is cool. Always like it when you get the fishermen coming in that are willing to experiment outside the box a little bit or observant enough to see some of the things going around them and try it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's outside of the box or just thinking. I think that's actually thinking within the box, because to me, that's critical thinking. That's where you really kind of get your, the ideas from. That's what makes you catch fish. I think thinking outside of the box is looking around, seeing all the tiny glass minnows and going, oh, I guess I'll throw a swim bait.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So anyway, in the canals in Port Charlotte.
Still been some jacks, a lot of small snook, a couple of bigger snook. I've heard of a couple sand bream lately. And then there's been the occasional whiting. Other than that, lots of catfish. I've heard of a few juvenile tarpon over there in Spring Lake, but haven't heard a lot of great reports.
Okay.
The water got a little clearer, but I'm sure I didn't look at it this morning behind the house. Wasn't paying attention. So I don't know if it darkened up with the rain we've had the last couple of days.
Okay. Well, let's go to the Elder Bean Pier.
Elder Bean, they're still catching some juvenile tarpon in the morning right at first light. There has been a couple of small sharks, of black tips, baby bull sharks. And then they've been catching a few bigger mangrove snapper there in the evening time, right off the pier itself. Haven't heard of any reports of any snook or trout or any other guys, but hearing that bigger mangrove snapper kind of gets you a little bit more excited with something a little different.
Yeah, it's always cool. Okay.
And he caught those on silver sides that you suggested to him a couple weeks ago. He's been back in buying the silver sides on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's surprising how well they work.
Mm-hmm.
When the guys, that was a customer-generated one.
Mm-hmm.
Guys come in and say, man, I was using these silver sides, catching a heck out of these mangrove snappers and stuff. And I'm like, well, it makes sense. They're like glass minnows.
Right.
And that's what mangrove snappers love to eat.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to be able to catch some glass minnows and be able to put them in a live well so I could go snapper fishing with them. But as soon as I get them in, they die.
Right.
And they just, no matter what I try, I can't keep them alive.
No. A little too fragile.
Yeah. So anyway, the Mica River area, cutoff, tippy canoe, the hole, the river, something?
The main part of the river has actually been holding some bigger tarpon, especially down towards the mouth, along with some Spanish mackerel and a couple of sharks. The cutoff itself has been holding a few snook. It seems like it's gotten a little quiet on those, but a few bigger redfish being caught inside there too. So it's not bad. You know, the guys trying for tarpon are mostly throwing thread fins and bait busters and doing fair on those. That seems to be where they've been most concentrated, according to a lot of customers.
Yeah. All right. South Gulf Cove.
Nothing. Unfortunately.
The West Wall, what do we got going there?
Some redfish out on the flats themselves and under the bushes. A lot of small snook. And then there's been a handful of trout and pompano and bonnet heads right on the flat itself or on the bar. A couple of guys have seen some single and deuce tarpon rolling just outside of the bar in that 5-6 feet of water range, but not in any consistent numbers the way they were last year at this time.
Okay. It's bad when I can't even read what I typed.
Yeah.
Okay. Going down to Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes, there's been some bonnet heads, a few Spanish mackerel, a lot of mixed smaller trout. And then a couple guys have caught some snook and redfish right there at the entrance of Muddy Bay. Been a little hit or miss right there, but the guys that are catching fish are doing well.
And the guys who aren't suck.
Yeah, pretty much. I just want to know if it's maybe that red tide, because that's like that right vital boundary line of, you know, if you get a strong enough wind from an afternoon thunderstorm, pushes it up in there to push some of those fish out, and that's why those guys say they didn't do good. Or,
well, we went down there and there was nothing moving. We were throwing topwaters, crankbaits, live bait, and we had two hits on a topwater, and that was it. We drifted that whole shoreline, and that was a couple weeks ago. And since then, it's been real sporadic. But, you know, like you said, it could be the red tide. If you get an incoming tide, there's not going to be much fish there. Outgoing tide, you're going to see a lot more fish there.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking with those guys, the way they were talking about it. So, just at that wrong moment, like anything else.
Yeah, I was in talking to Bill from Certain Water. I got this little ad up for him on the thing, talking to him about all the different stuff going on and the water quality issues. And, you know, there's so many fixes for all that water coming out of the Caloosahatchee. And he literally went to Swift Mud and said, listen, this is how you can actually fix the water coming out of the Caloosahatchee, coming down into, you know, Charlotte Harbor. This is how you fix the water flow going into the Key or the Everglades and all that. He said, this is the way we can do it, and this will work. It's easy, it's not overly expensive. You know, it'd take a little year or so to get it, you know, start getting everything into place, but you could literally take out the problems we're having. All the Okeechobee problems could be gone. But they don't want to do it.
No,
they don't want to do a darn thing.
Nope.
And I said, you know, Bill, you got to do a radio show for us.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because, I mean, he's so involved nationally on all the water issues and water quality issues. But it's Certain Water Services. They're right here in Charlotte Harbor. It's on the fishing report. You can see his little ad. He's helped me at the house, get my water clean at the house, because, you know, every area has its own issues.
Absolutely.
And he's the one that keeps our shiners alive here at the bait shop. And I was just thinking about it because we were talking about Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, and the water quality and all that. And that's what kind of brought him into mind. But I've spent some time at his shop this morning. Really nice guy. Glad I can call him a friend. It's nice to have a friend who knows all about the water quality.
Absolutely.
So when you're drinking water, taking a shower, you know it's actually safe. Clean. It's safe. Yeah. I got enough stuff I'm giving myself cancer and everything with. I don't need the water to do it, too. Right. Okay. Bull and Turtle Bay. I have heard in Turtle Bay about ladyfish and trout and a little bit of snook fishing over there.
That's pretty.
Anything you've heard about?
Honestly, that's pretty much all I have heard. And it's been sporadic at that. You know, unfortunately, I think, I don't know if, I'd have to say that my guess would be that there's probably not much red tide around. It's just that people are a little leery to have to travel down there and get into that. So they're staying up closer in the middle of the harbor and finally kind of listening to us a little bit more.
Well, I don't even know if it's about them being leery, but if you've got an incoming tide and Bull Bay is going to be yuck. Turtle Bay, maybe, maybe not, but Bull Bay is going to be one of the first places hit. It's closer.
Right.
And does it make it all the way into Turtle Bay? Maybe, maybe not, but definitely it's going to hit parts of Bull Bay.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the problem things there. All right. Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef, pretty much red tide as far as I know.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all I've heard. Couple of guys have gone out there to look for sharks and couldn't find any until they moved inside a little bit more.
Yeah, it'd be way inside. Gasparilla Sound, I'm calling it red tide.
Same thing.
Anything?
Nope.
All right. Placida Trestle, calling again red tide.
The only thing I would add to that is them opening the pier potentially the second week of August.
Yeah, I got an email from one of our great customers. I don't know if I can find it here. I'd like to say his name. Really nice guy. Trying to get my email program open, and where is it? Ed, looking down here. Let's see. Bob Bowles.
Oh, there you go.
And Bob sent me a thing he found on Charlotte County's website. It says repairs to the Placida Fishing Pier are in progress and will be completed in approximately 6 weeks. And on Charlotte County time, that means by 2020.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. True.
But thank you, Bob, for that. I really appreciate it. I will be responding on the email right after we get done recording. Placido Red Tide. All right, Lemon Bay. What do we got going in Lemon Bay?
Same thing, Red Tide. There's fish floating all the way up past the Tom Adams Bridge. And the one guy said that when the breeze picks up, it was the kid that's now working over at Circle K as our maintenance crew. So he was out at Inglewood yesterday. He said the red tide was pretty bad when the wind picked up, like coughing and sneezing.
Gotcha. All right. Anger Pier, we're going to call the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it was funny. They said, you know, on the website about the Placida Trestle,
yeah,
please visit the Anger Fishing Pier.
Nice.
Like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah,
awesome place, awesome pier. Not catastrophic loss of fish, but I don't, you know, words like horrific and catastrophic are always bad, but it's a bad loss of fish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, it always brings you, when you're thinking about red tide, did the state dump more phosphate sludge north of us somewhere?
Right.
Is this caused because somebody from the phosphate industry, which I got nothing against. We all need fertilizer. That's how we grow our food and all that. But why I have it against it is the possibility that maybe somebody might, from that industry, be getting favors from somebody in our government to make it less expensive for them to get rid of some of this stuff.
Right.
We've got the filters. There's it was the other thing Bill from Certain Water was telling me about. We can actually filter all that stuff from these phosphate sludge pits, which are the problem child, because you got suspended clay particles, which are deadly to fish. It just suffocates them, little tiny, tiny little particles. You get radioactive waste. You've got all this other kind of stuff in that phosphate mining that literally could be filtered out, you know, put into dried. It turns it into a dried substance. And, you know, be put somewhere where it's not going back into the water.
Right.
Where it could be, you know, yeah, I don't know if a landfill's any good or not, but it could be
even if it was done a little better. Little bit. Yeah.
And let's face it, a lot of that phosphate stuff could be actually just reused as fertilizer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they could be doing it a lot better rather than getting together in some possible maybe backroom deal with government officials, although we know that never happens.
Never.
We don't have any bribery issues with our government. That's just
None. Not
a possibility that someone could be getting trips or money or whatever they get to allow them to dump, you know, the sludge in our Gulf of Mexico. Wouldn't happen. Never happened. No. So anyway, Gulf of Mexico, how far out do you have to get past the red tide? About 3 miles?
I'm hearing about 5, depending on the area where you're at.
Okay. You know,
a couple guys right there outside of Boca were running into it at the Bell Buoy, which is 3. And then a couple other guys had some on Novak the other day, but once they got the Trembly Reef, they had no problems at all. So I think it just depends on the moment. But 5 would probably be my personal safety number if I was going to go out and give it a shot. Just to save from hopscotching around. But okay. The fishing has been incredible out there. We're going to run out of frozen bait again. I mean, I ordered a ton, and we're going to run out again. It's crazy.
I ordered quite a bit, but then again, I had people in. I was saying, go here, do this, and you're going to catch this. And they were doing it. And then they came back and said, well, we're going to do something else. And I said, well, go here and do this, and you're going to catch these fish. And when they came in the last time, I said, listen, guys, you got to go to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
There's just no way around it, you know. And they went on fishandfranks.com and the Reefs and Wrecks button there, and they've got, you know, some locations. And they've been having a good time because they're well within sight of land,
Yep. Catching
fish, having a good time. But that squid, sardines, thread fins, all chum. The frozen bait, chum. And, you know, that's...
Well, and plus the weather's been beautiful for it. I mean, it's been, you know, what, 5 to 8 miles an hour, less than 1 foot seas. You know, it really doesn't get much nicer than that.
Right. No, that's actually very true. It's been great weather to be in the Gulf. And we needed that great weather because there was no place else to go if you really wanted to have a fun day catching fish.
Exactly.
So, all right, talk to me about that. How far out do you got to go to find mahi-mahi?
That one guy was 20 or 25 miles out, he said, and got those decent-sized mahi. But I'm hearing of peanuts all the way up to about 5 pounders out, you know, 35 and 40 miles where guys are heading out towards, you know, their red snapper spots.
All right, how about the red snapper?
Most of the guys are catching those in 140 to 160 feet of water, which is 45 miles out roughly. According to Peg Leg, they went out yesterday. They didn't catch any red snapper, but they caught some really, really good fish. They caught some red grouper. He caught a giant porgy. It was like, I think he said it was 28 inches long.
How far out are they?
They went out like 75 miles.
Wow.
They went way out there. At that point, I'm going to be trolling for some of the big pelagics, never mind those bottom fish. You know, or at least I'm going to fish for those red porgies that your father turned me on 2 years ago. Forget those red snapper. I want that champagne porgy or a red porgy. Those things were excellent eating. And then the kings have been out there in that 40-mile mark. Spanish are 3 miles and out, scattered around with some bonita. And then there's been a lot of Atlantic sharpnose and black-nose sharks out there. Haven't heard of too many big sharks, but lots of little guys out there. You know, if those schools of bonita start showing up here in mid-July, that might get some bigger sharks moving around, but still fun to catch those little guys while you're messing with other things. I've heard of only a handful of barracuda, not a lot. But, you know, fishing is pretty darn good out there.
Okay. And so, how did I do this last week? Okay, there we go. Oh, damn, I messed that up. That's why I didn't do it that way last week. Okay, get that. Yeah, you'd think after I've done this, for 100 years now, I could actually get all this stuff together properly. I do that, and then, and now do that. And okay, all right, what's going on in Venice?
I've heard of some red tide up there sporadically, unfortunately. A couple guys off the Sharky's Pier were catching some Spanish mackerel and a couple of small sharks. A gentleman was in day before yesterday and said the red tide was bad enough where he's down here on vacation. He's gonna go down to Marco Island. He was heading down there today, actually. As he said, he ran into it at the jetty and at the pier.
What a stump pass is red tide, huh?
Yep.
And Little Gasparilla, obviously red tide.
Yep.
And Boca.
Yep.
Red tide. And Captiva.
Questionable. Because it's just starting to show up a little bit down there.
Okay, not much yet, so the fishing still is pretty good here?
Yeah, once you get down, like, Redfish Pass area, it's picked up a little bit better. Some whiting, a few redfish, quite a few snook, and some assorted sharks, and even a few tarpon. Guess that bloom out on Boca Grande, some of it was concentrated enough where it actually took out a couple manatees and a couple sea turtles.
And some tarpon.
Yeah.
And what about Ponarasa?
Ponarasa, the only thing I heard there was the trout fishing just north of it on those grass flats. Guy did pretty good the other day. He was looking for bait and started catching trout. Okay. So he just left the bait alone and sat there and kept throwing his paddle tails.
That's what I like to throw there.
Yeah.
All right, so if you're out walking the beaches, any good news walking the beaches anywhere? Not much. Red tide.
Red tide. Probably a good idea to wear flip-flops.
You wear some kind of hard-soled shoes.
Yes.
Forget the flip-flops. Wear shoes. And preferably not tennis shoes, but tennis shoes at a minimum. Because when you have red tide, you have fish that die and come up onto the beach. And when fish die and fade away, what's left? The skeleton. And yep. That is the spines from catfish and ribs and all this other kind of stuff. And it kind of blends into the background. You're not really going to see them. And yep. So for usually I figure a month to 2 months after a red tide like we've had, I won't walk barefoot on a beach. I want fairly heavy soled shoes on just to avoid any puncture wounds.
I agree with you.
And the reason it's that amount of time is the shifting sands and stuff round the sharp edges. They blunt it. They make them rounder, smoother. They're not very sharp after a little while. It really dulls everything down. It's just the shifting of the sand, like sandpaper on anything else, just kind of wears it down. And it doesn't take that long.
No.
But that first month to 2 months, I ain't walking on the beach. No way in heck. So, Sanibel, we got trout fishing.
Trout fishing, there's been some tarpon and snook right there around the causeway itself, mostly at night. And then I have been hearing of some pompano down there right along the ICW on both sides, you know, St. James City, all the way down to the other side of the Sanibel Causeway. And of course, there's been a few small sharks and Spanish mackerel also kind of mixed in down there. So it's not terribly bad at all down there right now, which is good to hear.
Okay.
And we got a full moon, so the tide has been cranking out there from right here at night. The fish are kind of staying real isolated in spots, so just kind of move around until you come across them.
Okay. God damn, four fingers. Yeah, okay, I got most of the spelling ones corrected. All right, and that's going to take us down to... What the heck just happened there? All right. Edit, undo. here we are. Okay, now we're ready to type on the Coosatchee River.
Good place to type question marks.
Yep, I got nothing.
Nope.
Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's been doing pretty good. It's some brown water, but they've been catching some redfish, handful of snook, some juvenile tarpon, even a few trout all around the vicinity of the Matt Lachey Bridge. Quite a few people complaining about the brown water, but that's a normal thing this time of year out there with as much rain as we've been having. I mean, those Cape Coral canals pump right out through there. Big deal.
Well, the thing is, they've been dumping that Coosatchee down there for 20-some years.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing new for the fish or for anybody else. It's just new because we have the internet and everybody can, you know, cry and complain and moan.
Mm-hmm. I love hearing about it that they got to do the water release because of the weakening locks, you know, and it's like, really?
Well,
no, it's not weakening. They just don't want to drown out the sugar cane fields. Because you watch those guys, we're pumping water out of the lake, and they're pumping water back into the lake from each side of the.
But they grow a lot of rice, a lot of other food. It's not just sugar cane.
No. How about the agriculture then?
Right. I've driven down there a lot, and driving through, they got lost down in there. I mean, and you can get real lost in that area. And, I mean, it's miles and miles of rice. And, I mean, the amount of food grown down there is staggering. And it's not just sugarcane. It's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's hard to believe that South Florida is a major rice producer.
Right.
But we are.
Right.
And, you know, agriculture requires certain stuff. But there is ways of taking care of all this. Just that the state and our, let's just say, government officials are basically unwilling to spend the money, do the stuff to fix it.
Right.
They've got other things, you know, that they figure are more important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of frustrating sometimes.
Mm, but it's not uncommon, and, you know, it's Swift Mud and, you know, the other agencies around that they decide what's important and what's not important. And it's not high on their list right now to fix the water quality.
Right.
You know, and one thing I was talking about with Bill this morning over at Certain Water, it's funny, but we don't think about it, but we're using the same water that this planet has been using for the last 3 billion years. All the water that's here has been here for millions and billions of years.
Right.
We don't get new water.
No.
I mean, this is it. This is all we're going to get.
That's true.
So it's kind of funny how it all, you know, you don't think about it because you think, okay, we got, you know, good clean water here and it's coming up out of the ground. Well, that water that's coming up out of the ground was probably in an ocean, evaporated and come into cloud, rained down, washed through the soil, and that water's just coming back again. But it's not new water.
Oh, no. It's been recycled a few times.
You know, think over the last few million years how many times that water has, you know, made that trip.
It's crazy. I never thought about that.
But just one of the things we were talking about, I got to get him to do a program about water and eco and filters and all this stuff. The guy's so into it.
That's awesome.
So anyway, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound has been doing fairly well once you get below Captiva Pass, from what I've heard from a few. Some bigger trout, Spanish mackerel, assortment of smaller sharks, even a handful of tarpon. And then if you get around some of the islands, been some good catch and release snook and a handful of redfish. I'm starting to get a couple more reports on redfish down in that area. Still nothing gangbusters, but even one report of a redfish is better than we were getting 2 months ago, so I'm perfectly content with that. Most of the guys are catching them on whitebait and pinfish. Handful of guys are doing really good on shrimp and just throwing artificials, you know, throwing some of the gulps and some of the other soft plastics. That's not bad. The pinfish have been a little weak down there. I don't know what that's about, but you know, fishing overall is probably the best place to go if you want to venture that far south.
I gotta run down there one of these days. I gotta burn some of the fuel out of my boat anyway. It's the only problem with having a 70-gallon fuel tank. You really don't want it to sit that long, but every once in a while you really gotta burn it out. But my boat doesn't burn that much fuel, so it takes me a long time to burn that fuel out of there.
Pretty so, funny.
Anyway, Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
Honestly, red tide is what I heard a couple days ago. That was the last report I had. So I got nothing, unfortunately.
Yeah. Burnt Store Two Pines.
That's been a little bit better. There's actually been, you know, some thread fins around there, which has been bringing in the small sharks and Spanish mackerel. And then they're still doing some fair amount of catch and release snook and a couple of redfish here and there. The trout they've been catching down there have been pretty small, but still getting into them. And had one report of a guy skipping Pompano closer down towards Two Pines.
Okay.
He couldn't catch them, but he tried like heck for a little while. He said he was even ready for them. He actually had his Silly Willy rigged on an extra pole just in case, because he was actually going down there to look for tarpon.
Okay. Brings us up to the east side of the harbor.
The only thing I've got is some bonnet heads, a few pompano, an occasional tarpon, and there has been a few snook and redfish around the islands themselves, especially with moving water. Find the little cuts and right next to some little island.
I didn't catch what fish you said.
A few redfish and some snook. They've been up on those flats around the islands and some of the little deeper troughs where you're getting a little bit more water movement. And those guys are catching them mostly on shrimp, some pinfish. A few guys have been finding whitebait down there too and using them. The water is a little cloudy, but you can see down a couple of feet, so you do have some visibility out there, which is kind of nice for some of the newbies around. You can kind of get a little better feel, like that guy the other day you're talking to that just totally ran ashore and was frustrated.
Say what?
having that little bit of visibility is nice, considering that guy like you were talking to the other day, trying to explain to him how he kept getting stuck on the sandbar.
Well, it's just funny how a guy who can't figure out how to read a depth finder thinks a chart is going to help him.
Right.
Okay, you're out there and your depth finder says 2 foot.
Right.
And you don't turn around and go back out.
Nope.
No. Why so a chart is going to help.
Yeah.
Give me a break. And, you know, you always picture these guys as going out there and going from marker to marker to marker to marker. You know, yeah. Zigzagging their way out. And then they all get right out past marker 2 and just shut the boat down because they can't see any more markers, so they don't know where to go. Yeah. And I've literally watched them like a pinball in a machine go from, you know, out of the 41 bridge all the way over to the first marker on the left, way over to the other side of the harbor, anywhere where they can see a channel marker, whether it's for a canal or the river or whatever, anything they see they drive at.
Yeah.
And the one guy went around
floating boat.
Yeah. If there's a boat there, they drive at it. And the one guy says, well, I ran aground. I said, where'd you come out of Port Charlotte Beach? I said, well, you ran aground right here. He's like, what? I said, right there off Punta Gorda. You saw those markers at the end of the Ponce Channel and decided you were going to go for them. Bar sticks out further than them. And I said, so you had to drive at something, because where he was from, that's what people do. They drive at something. They can't drive to open water. I said, you've got to get over driving at something and learn to drive into the open water. That's your buddy. That's your pal. There's nothing there. If you're driving at something, you're likely to hit it. So quit driving at stuff you're probably going to hit.
Yeah. Let's play chicken. Let's play dodge boat. That ought to be fun.
That's a very good analogy. Dodge boat, chicken. Here's something out there. Okay, I'm going to drive at it till you're real close and veer around it. And then look for something else to drive at.
Yeah.
No, the object is to drive where there's nothing. That's the safer water. All right. Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek, I've got nothing. I haven't heard anything up inside or anything at all.
Ponce de Leon Park.
A lot of small mangrove snapper. Handful of black drum. A couple guys caught some sand bream just up inside, kind of by the rocks as it opens up to the houses. And no, that wasn't there. That was over up inside PGI.
Okay, well, that's where we're at now. We're inside PGI.
A lot of juvenile tarpon, quite a few snook, some really big
black. And you said sand bream the guy was catching?
Yeah, right at the rock pile right there before you come into the rim canal.
Right. Okay.
There has been some big jacks in there still, too, sporadically.
All right. And if you're waiting to read this, you're probably not getting too far ahead.
I'm trying to
look at
sure.
My computer screen, and I'm like, Robert, reading what I already wrote, is it going to help us
all
much?
All I see is white and lines.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt, you could actually see this. Okay.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, I'm just trying to think of what. There was another guy in here telling me something, and I can't remember what it was.
That's right. We'll go down to the next one. Gilcrest Pier.
A couple of small bull sharks that a guy caught last week. At the end of last week, he said. But I haven't heard of anything else.
Okay. One pier that's getting a little more recognition. It used to be a great pier, and now it's finally getting a little recognition as a decent fishing pier. Yeah. Alligator Creek Reef.
Been a few Spanish mackerel on it and some mangrove snapper. But it's mainly been about the bait. If the bait's there, they seem to be active. If you're not seeing any bait on the surface at all, it seems to be very quiet. I haven't heard of any cobia. I haven't heard of any of the tarpon. None of it yet.
Somebody was telling me something they were catching there. It was actually larger fish, and I don't remember what the heck it was. But, you know, boy, I've been everywhere. I was just at Shenango's. I looked up and got the thing here for Rick over at Shenango. I was just there.
It's because you got 27 irons in the fire, so you're having to hopscotch.
Well, part of it's your boat.
No.
Yeah, so,
I know.
Yeah.
I know that I'm partially responsible for it. I know that.
So, but that's almost done. Okay, deep holes in the harbor.
Tarpon. Some Spanish mackerel.
Now, Okay, tarpon, Spanish.
And some small sharks. The small sharks seem to be more concentrated in the southern holes, but the Spanish and the tarpon seem to be moving literally from Pirate Harbor, Burnt Store area, all the way up to the Mayaca. You just got to kind of come across them and look for them like we've always done.
Okay.
One guy did hook into a Goliath / Jewfish in one of the holes the other day. He said it was about a 100-pounder. He said that was a pleasant surprise. Well, that's always fun.
Well, I think they're getting out of the red tide because with several Jewfish dead on the beaches out there by Boca, yeah. I think some of them are just actually moving out there.
Yeah. Well, and some of them get pushed out from El Jobin and the 41 Bridge when you get that real heavy push of fresh water, too.
Yeah, that's true. Getting pushed down river and all, you know, in and out, stuff like that.
Yeah. Good to keep you on your toes that way, too, because you're expecting, you know, a shark or a tarpon, and then, whoa, wait a minute.
Okay, as far as whitebait, a little on the east side.
A little on the east side and a little bit around marker 1 and 2, but not a ton. Most of it's been glass minnows and small thread fins.
Where are you going to find thread fins?
They're throughout the whole center of the harbor. They're in the holes. They're along the east side, just on the outside edge of the bar. And then there's a bunch way offshore. There's actually a lot of different varieties of bait offshore.
Okay, any pinfish around anywhere?
A little bit down in Pine Island.
Let's see, ladyfish anywhere?
Ladyfish have been sporadic. The only ones I've been hearing about have been a few in the canals in the evenings and at night. But I haven't heard of much of any consistency. I'd start looking at ponds and work my way south, looking for them, mixing with those glass minnows. That's where I've always traditionally found them.
Okay. Alright, the red tide report, background to medium concentrations in Sarasota, definitely yellow alert. Charlotte County got a definitely letters in red, medium to high concentrations in 4 samples. Lee County, you're looking at background to high concentrations, definitely, you know, red, watch out, a lot of red tide. Because Lee County is Boca Grande Pass, by the way. We think of it as Charlotte, but it is actually Lee County. Collier County is green, background to low concentrations, really little to no fish kill. Check out the maps we've got there. I'll be updating them as often as I remember. Really cool. If you click the thing that says red tide map page, that's going to take you to the ones you can see how it's moved and where it's come from. And I don't think there's any way to tell where it's going, but you might. I don't know. Getting us into the freshwater fishing. How's the bass fishing doing?
Oh, it's been good. A couple guys have been changing it up with their shiners. They're actually using a porgy rig or a chicken rig. They're actually putting their sinker on the bottom and getting their shiners down deeper in the water. And been doing fairly well with some 2 to 4 pound fish in the Port Charlotte canals and out in the Rotunda area. And then, because of the rain we've been having this week, we've had a lot of guys buying worms because they said the bluegill have really started to turn on to some of the spill dams and some of the culvert pipes. One guy out there in Deep Creek said he's been catching some tilapia, some, you know, big bluegills, sunfish, whatever you want to call them. And he even caught a couple of nice crappie. He caught 2 crappie that were 15, 16 inches long on worms, which is always cool when they do that.
Well, that's weird because the guy was down in the Everglades and that's what they were catching down there was tilapia. Yeah. Not tilapia, crappie. And it's surprising how many crappie are hitting right now.
Right.
It's really I'm hearing as much about crappie in the last week or two than I heard all last fall.
Right.
This is a great springtime crappie bite, even though it probably shouldn't be, but it is.
Right.
And so it's... How do you spell chatter?
C-H-A-T-T-E-R.
Yeah. Okay. I just had it a little bit wrong. All right. And now the one thing everybody wants to know about, the tarpon reports.
Tarpon reports.
Give me just a minute and... That's not right. Okay. Come on. Here it is. Okay. Getting our brush size together. And let's start with the red dots. Where's good tarpon fishing right now?
Any of the 20-foot holes from Pirate Harbor all the way up into the mouth of the Myakka. I would actually probably go all the way up to Eljo Bean personally, because I'd find them up there pretty regularly too.
Okay. Yellow dots, where are we going to go?
41 Bridge.
Now, is that a nighttime thing?
No, they've been there sometimes in the morning, but it's been super inconsistent with that, so it's not necessarily worth mentioning them, you know, on the main report, but enough to look for them.
What about anything along the beaches?
The last report I got off the beaches was at Captiva Pass, and that was last Friday.
Okay. Down around Sanibel, Ponderosa.
Yeah, right there along the ICW from, you know, Captiva Rocks, probably down south. I would say that there would probably be a few 50-50 shot.
Okay. I haven't heard anything up to Coosahatchee.
Nothing.
Any other really good spot for tarpon?
Chuckalusky,
okay.
Two guys came in yesterday. Yeah. They were going back down there because they killed it, I guess, about a week and a half ago, and their buddy's been having a blast down there with them.
All right. Where would you have a chance of seeing some tarpon?
Spring Lake, PGI Canals, and then just sporadically along the outside of the bar on the east and the west side. There's always those few single fish swimming around, and this is the time of year where they should start to even show up, like on the outside edge of Alligator Creek Reef, between the east side and the reef itself, working their way towards Alligator Creek.
Yeah.
Traditionally, that's where they're usually a good spot, and this is that prime time. Well, it's not prime time, but it's the beginning of that time.
Gotcha. Right, just let me date this. Okay. Let's see. 06/21/18. Goodness gracious. All right. Give me just a second here. Okay. Got that to fit. A little smaller. Make it opaque. Okay. Now we can save that. Ooh. Not your yellow letters, though. Oh, God. Yeah, it's just funny how, you know, you think, okay, I got this. I've done this 1,000 times. I can do this again. Okay, save as. All right. All right. Now, before I post that map that we just did, tell me a little bit about what's going on with the tarpon. I mean, you know, if you're thinking about tarpon fishing, what is it that what are the tarpon doing? You know what I mean? A little insight into the world of tarpon.
Well, they're not doing what they should be doing this week, because this week is usually traditionally a hill tide. You know, it's a full moon. This is kind of their last big spawn that they would normally do. So I have a feeling that these fish are probably pretty darn confused compared to normal. But as far as how they act in the harbor, they're kind of acting the way they should be. They're following the thread fins. Some of them have been even just sitting on the surface, according to Carl and another customer. Saw some fish out there where they looked like tailing redfish, you know, but they were in 15 feet of water. but they're chasing the threadies. They're following some of the glass minnows. A couple guys have actually been catching them on a small mullet that they've been netting here and there. So they're doing pretty well on them. Even the bait busters have been working very, very well. Just got to get out there at first light, look for them. Tide seems to go slack a little bit, and those fish disappear, and they don't seem to pop back up in anything fishable or don't seem to be chewing until later that afternoon again. So there's a big weird lull depending on who you talk to in the middle of the day, which is, I don't know, I guess that does kind of describe tarpon, where they get to be a pain in the butt like that. You'll see them, but then they don't want to eat at all until something flips on, some kind of switch. And the water's real dark out there, so seeing that silver mirror from a ways away is not too hard to see, and even seeing that occasional free jumper isn't that far-fetched either. That's what I like to look for, is a free jumping fish, because those always seem to be a little bit more associated with feeding fish. At least what I've noticed over the years personally. Plus I always am kind of drifting one of those bait busters or storm swim baits out the back of the boat with a bobber on it, no matter what or what I am not seeing, because that seems to get hit a lot.
Yeah. Okay, that kind of brings us to the end of the report. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. It's like, right. Gosh. So, anyway, I guess I just got to do some moving around of different stuff. And what else do you want to go over here with this?
I would say
just page to come out.
Go out there and have a good time and enjoy it. You know, try some of that offshore fishing while we got some really nice calm weather. You know, I mean, anything from that, you know, 5 mile mark on out, whatever you feel most comfortable at. And don't freak out about the red tide until you actually get out there and realize you got to move a little ways.
Yeah,
you know, it's only a major drag for the people that are stuck on shore, because it's hard to pack up your stuff and move to the next spot.
Much harder to pack your stuff up if you're land-based fishing, you know, piers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but if you're in a boat, okay, I'm coughing a little bit, I'm sniffing a little bit, time to move. Run 100 yards or a mile and see what's going on at the next spot.
Yeah, that's true. It's not near as bad to get around and move and go back and forth.
No.
I'm kind of loading maps so I don't forget to do this, you know.
Gotcha. And
so that's why I'm kind of inconsistent at my speaking, because I'm
typing, getting, downloading, yeah, switching stuff. It's
putting the maps up, getting all that stuff.
It's a lot of effort to multitask.
Yeah, especially for me. I can't task, much less multitask.
Right.
So, anyway, I think I've got all that up, but I'll have to double check it all. But anyway, I'm going to be loading up the fishing reports. I got the maps loaded, got the red tide page built for, so you can look back on the red tides as things happen. And I think that page is kind of important, so people can actually see that it doesn't just come and take over and go. It's actually in areas, not in the entire world.
Right.
There's no red tide monster coming to eat Chicago. The red tide monster that ate Chicago, you know, coming to a theater near you. And it can get bad. It can get horrific. It can get catastrophic. It can get a lot of things. And right now, we're in between all those things. So just kind of go out and have a good time. If you're into the, if you get in an area of red tide, move.
Yeah.
Don't fall in love with a spot. Yeah. Move. Get out of it. Hopefully the fish can do the same thing. So I guess that's about it for all this
information and fishing report.
Yes. So in other words, the show has just
nice touch.
I kind of dropped that one right in the bowl there, you know what I mean? Okay, you heard of taking kids to the pool? We just took a show to the pool. That's the way it goes. Fish and Frank here. Robert over there. Any last words, Robert?
No. just have fun, be safe. 4th of July is coming up. Don't drink too much out there on the water, and be aware of everybody else around you.
Yep. God, I gotta fix that button. I need to get some spray and get that button working again.
I'm surprised there's not a can lost somewhere here on the desk.
Yeah, I gotta blow all the dust off it first.
Right.
So anyway, boys and girls, thank you much for listening. Hopefully there's something good in there for you. And we will catch you on the next Radio Fishing. We're missing our show from the one we usually put up because he didn't put it on my thumb drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he forgot.
Oh, jeez.
So I think he thought he did it, but he never did. Anyway, hopefully we'll get that show reclaimed and we'll get on more. Bye.